have a message today. They asked me, I shared at base camp, and they asked me to come and to share again. Part of the thing that's been on my heart, when Diane asked me a couple months ago, I had had something stirring in my heart from the Lord for the youth. And one of the things that I want to share with you guys today is what they've received over this weekend so that you have a full understanding of what God has done in your midst. Because what God did this weekend was another move of God in our midst. And one of the things that he stirred in my heart, I'm constantly trying to figure out where to start because I want you to hear the whole story, but this whole ministry was started with the understanding that youth are the flashpoint of revival. And throughout history, God has used young people to spread his fire. One thing is they're a desperate people. They're desperate to know their purpose. They're desperate to know something's real. They have a desperation built into them to seek after God. And God taps into that place of desperation, and he begins to answer the cry of their heart. And this whole ministry was started on a place of that desperation. It was started with a group of young people that were desperate to see God move. And I want to start a little bit from the beginning because it's a people, it's a life given that begins to call on the presence of God. And I shared my testimony, and I want to share a little of my testimony today because I want you to see the journey that God has taken us on in this ministry and how Sean and I have just walked on this place with God that God has built on and built on and built on until where we're at today. I was saved when I was 13 years old, and I came from a broken home. And I don't want my mom to cry, but I came from a place, I had many, many stepfathers, and in that place, some very unjust things that had happened to me, and God met me in that place and saved me. He met me, and he saved me. And he saved me, you know what? He saved me before some of the worst ones. So don't think when God saves you, he just plucks you into, you're into this place of ethereal, like, woo. He saves you just in time. And he comes and he surrounds you. And when he saved me, it was right before I went into one of the toughest seasons of my life. And I had a stepfather that spoke so many evil things over me and became a host of the enemy. And it's like many of us, we have the enemy speaking lies to our heads, right? Then you get a person that's an authority in your life that becomes a host of the devil and begins to speak lies to your identity. And you know what God did? God came and he surrounded me. And he began to speak his identity into me day and night. In a hard place, God began to speak who I was in him, that I was a daughter, that I was loved, that he had a plan and he had a purpose for my life. And so from that point, I'm trying to move faster because I don't want to, you know how people go, and in the beginning, and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah. But it's significant because I want you to hear a life given. Because when God found me, there was nothing else. He was my source. My father had left years before that. So I was completely fatherless other than the ones that came into my life to destroy me. And God met me as my father. He met me in that place. And so there was nothing. There was nothing that compared to him. There wasn't, in a time of my youth, there was nothing that was more attractive than his love for me. And so in that place, I began to radically love him and serve him. When I was 14, 15 years old, I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour in prayer every day, praying, finding that place in him because that was my source. That's all I had that was secure and stable in my life was him. And he met me there, and he came, and he loved me, and he showed me who he was, and he gave me a passion for who he was. And then from there, I moved on. When I was 19 years old, I moved up to New England, and I was radical. Oh, I need my water. Please. Thank you. And I moved up with my brother, We moved into like a high rise, and he was in the Navy. And I got a phone book. Do you remember the phone books? I got a phone book, and we went through, and we listed all the churches in the area and drove around, and I'd be like, no, nah, that one's not it. Drove to another one. Nah, that's not it. Joy Church of New England. I was like, that's it. That's the one we're going to go to on Sunday. And so we went to Joy Church of New England, and I met two girlfriends there that Sunday. And within probably 4 weeks, I had moved out in with them because it became very apparent to myself that loved Jesus a lot, that being in a high-rise with a bunch of Navy guys wasn't a very healthy situation. And in the midst of all of my loving Jesus, I still had liabilities in my life that I was aware of, and that would have been one of them. So I ended up moving in with these radical lovers of Jesus. And God took me there, and we would spend our days worshiping God. We spent our Friday nights out on a street with four bars around, witnessing to people. We would come home and move our furniture out of the living room and dance before Jesus until the presence of God would fall. Because he was a lover and a friend. He was somebody that had met me in that place of every need that I had. He was constantly there. He was constantly speaking to me, even in times of weakness. Because when I share this with you, it wasn't perfect obedience. It was obedience. It was at the end of the day, I feared the Lord. I loved the Lord, and I was going to answer his call. But in times of weakness and strength, he met me, and he kept calling me into himself. And then I went from there. I don't know how many of you have heard my story about being... I was in two armed robberies during that season of my life. Many of you have heard the stories. And I kind of compared them to the journey of David becoming king, because David started out worshiping God, right, with the little sheep. And then the lion comes, and he destroys the lion. And what he's learning in that place is obedience to God. He's learning faith in God. He's learning to be strong. And this was my season of being out with the sheep, learning different things. And the first time I was in an armed robbery, it was that lion moment in my life. And I was a little bit like, whoa, what's happening here, right? It seems so surreal. And you're just like, so... The Lord was, when the guy came into the store, I knew something in my spirit was super stirred, so I knew something was going down. But you don't think like, oh, they're getting ready to pull a gun out, right? That's not the first thing that you think. So I was at a jewelry store. I worked in a really high-end jewelry store. I was at the Rolex place. And so this guy comes and he pulls out the gun and he says, give me the watches or I'm going to shoot her. And he points at me. And the old man swore at him and said, no, go off. And I'm like, I was like, excuse me? He just said he was going to shoot me. But in that moment, I mean, I really felt the tangible. I was kind of like, Jesus? Jesus? Like, okay, Lord, okay. But he sustained me. The guy jumped over, grabbed some watches, ran off. So that was kind of the moment. But it was this very real moment of like, whoa, like this is life and death. Like, wow. And then it wasn't 4 weeks later, I was at a bank machine. And God is so gracious because I was so in love and radical with him. I saw three guys three blocks away walking towards the bank machine. And something in my spirit said, oh, like maybe you shouldn't go. And my response in all of my youthful zeal was, you don't scare me, devil. I was like, I'm going anyways. I'm meaning to go to the bank machine and get money out. So I go to the bank machine. Sure enough, these three guys walk by. One walks back by, and I'm in there, and I'm like, Ora basa kata basa, Jesus, hallelujah. And I go to get my car. Before I get my car, he pulls a gun out. He says, hey. And so I turned, I jumped in the car, I hit the locks. Thankfully, the locks all locked, because sometimes you're like trying to find a lock. It was really the Holy Ghost. Like, I hit the locks and the car was locked. All the locks were locked. And he came over and he held it to my head and he said, open up or I'm going to shoot you. And this time was the bear. This time the Holy Ghost came on me because I knew the feeling. I knew the lie of the enemy and the Spirit of God. It was like a shaft of light. I was Superwoman raised up in me, and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the guy was like, well, I mean it. And I was like, I mean it too. But so anyways, I started my car and I drove off and I drove home and I was like, to my girlfriends, I was like, guess what just happened? And you know what? I had stopped at a gas station on the way and I started preaching to the guy at the gas station. I was like, you're not gonna believe what just happened to me. I was like, God delivered me. Jesus is awesome. And then we went home and what'd we do? We moved all the furniture. And we began to rejoice in the Lord and shout victory to Jesus. And so from there, I ended up coming to Boston. My girlfriends moved away, and God spoke to me. I was getting ready to move back to Florida. I had sent out resumes. I was going home. I didn't know what else to do. And the Lord woke me up one morning, and he said, I want you to move to Boston. And I had visited a few churches there, and so literally, I was like, yes, sir. And so I packed what I had left in my car. I was in Connecticut for the summer. And I drove to a little church in Woburn, Massachusetts, which we had visited before in the Boston area. And I went in and I said, I'm looking for a place to stay tonight because I'm relocating here. which sounds crazy. I was 21. I called my mom and I said, God told me to move to Boston. I don't have any answers for you. If you have any questions, you can ask him. I'll call you in a couple of weeks. And I had a job and an apartment in 2 weeks. And the Lord was faithful, and that's where I met Sean. And Sean is coming from the same fabric of trusting God, though. This is a man that would, when he was in high school, he would lock himself in his room for days at a time, just not coming out until God met him there. Preaching to his friends, seeing revival in his high school. And it was from that fabric that when he brought us together in Woburn, we were with a singles ministry. And again, God has just through time, we've gathered misfits from all over and God has poured out on them. We had this beautiful, wonderful singles ministry of, I mean, Harvard people, Berkeley people, headbangers that were in a little band, special people, like I'm saying, it was all kinds, and the love of God that was so rich in that place, the Spirit of God. We would spend every Saturday together. We would worship for 3 and 4 hours on Saturday nights and prophesy to one another until 1 in the morning every single week, until God finally spun everybody out, and they ended up all over the world, and we know them today. It was advanced, and we know them today that when we see them, something lights up. Because there was this encounter that we had with them. There was this special moment in God. And in that time, all of a sudden, there was a revival in the earth. Holy Trinity Brompton, Toronto, Canada. It was an outpouring. They call it the renewal. It was in the early 90s, and God poured out. And he poured out. There was a tangible presence in our church, abiding presence of the Lord for 3 solid years. It lasted, they say 6 years, but really the abiding presence with 3 solid years. So we grew up in this time of miracles and wonders, looking at the history of revival, and it was burning in our heart to see God do this in this generation. And when that began to dissipate, something stirred in our heart, and we said, God, do it again. But the next time you do it, we want a container that it can go farther, because what would happen is the Holy Spirit would show up, and everybody goes, ah, he's here. And nobody knew what to do. They would just get excited, and that was it. Nothing would change. And so we were like, we want to see God do something in a generation. And so we started Youth Storm. And it was during that time that Steve came in. Steve got saved in the youth group in Woburn. Diane was in Woburn. She had run a youth ministry there. I mean, just the fabric of people that had a given life that wanted to run. And when God touched them, he saw kindling there, and he came down and he touched them, and he joined us together to be a blaze of fire in New England. Josiah got saved in that time. He was preaching Jesus in his schools. People are throwing batteries at his head. Radical salvation given to the Lord. And it was in this container of revival that God birthed Youth Storm. We were doing, right before that, we were doing children's revival meetings, and we had kids falling out on the floor in trances and having visions of God. We had one girl that a demon had, her testimony that she shared was a demon had come to her in her room, and he told her, you have to serve me. And so She was like 7 or 8 years old. She told us this. She told us he came and said, and while she was on the floor, Jesus came to her and while she was on the floor shaking. She was literally there shaking for probably an hour, just having an encounter with the Lord. And he came to her and he showed himself on the cross and he said, you don't have to serve him. I'm greater. And she came up and you know what? She had gone to Chuck E. Cheese and bought like a skull ring when she was bound. And she wore this skull ring, kind of like a little covenant to the devil. She brought it up to the altar and handed it over to us and shared this story. So crazy. I mean, these are cool. I'm wanting you to hear these stories because God is doing a new thing. And it's from the fabric of this place. It's from the foundation of this place of seeing God move time and time, waves of revival, waves of revival. And then U-Storm started, and it was just a band of firebrands. And we believed that youth were the flashpoint of revival. And so this band of firebrands, Josiah was here. He went on two 40 consecutive 40-day fasts. Preaching Jesus, all kinds of encounters with God. He would do the night watch for a year, 2 years? It was a long time. He did the night watch. We were in Lawrence. He would pray all night. In the mornings, he'd go out and witness to prostitutes on the street. And he'd evangelize and see God do mighty things. And then we brought others in to do that. We started the internship. We had 80 hours of prayer going on in 44 Range Road, all of this. That was the hub of everything. There were times in the basement there that the presence was so thick that there was it was a mist in the room. And people would pray for hours and not want to leave. And I'm trying to think of all the stories. I asked a lot of people to give me some of the stories. Another one of the stories, there was a guy, we were going to Europe, he didn't have any money, and he needed money, but we were at a meeting because we did 9 youth groups a week. We would go around and consult youth ministries, but just share the fire of God. Radical service, servants of the revolution. So we gave our lives without any holding back, without limits. We just gave ourselves for this king. We gave ourselves for this man, for a generation to be changed. That was what was at the very heart of what we were doing. And he was in a meeting one time, and he didn't have any money, and he didn't have anything to give in the offering, and he had brand new sneakers, so he took his sneakers off and threw them in the offering. But this is the heart. I share this because this is the heart of the people we were working with. And I'm telling you, some of them were misfits. They just loved Jesus. His delight was all over them. And they saw these sneakers in there, and they were like, who put these sneakers in? And he finally admitted it. They called him up, and they began to throw money at his feet. And he just wept and wept as the whole church came up just throwing money at his feet. Everything he needed. Yeah, it gave him everything that he needed to be in Europe. And then we had one guy. This is another funny story. And this I share because I want you to see the heart of the people, the willingness to, I just want to be before God. But we had one guy that was in one of our meetings. He got saved, and the next time we saw him, he came in, he was dressed all in white. He had shaved everything, his head, his eyebrows, like everything. And he came and he said, I just want to be pure. I got rid of everything, because you know how the and all he's eating is communion the rest of his life. And that's funny, but that's youthful zeal. That is youthful zeal. But what God spoke to me in this season now is because we've been really wrestling over this and we yearn to see a move of God. We yearn to see a people given to the Lord, to see the fire of God stir again. And we've had moves of God here in the church. We've had waves of the Spirit. When the habitation happened, that was like 2 weeks where the power of God was so in our midst. And we live for that presence and for God to move. But 25 years ago, we took a sword. We bought a sword when we were in Europe, and God spoke to us. And one of the mantras of the ministry was for the king in life and death. That we would pledge our lives to the king for in life or death, that we'd give everything to him, holding nothing back. Whatever he wanted, we would do. And we had many services all over New England and all over Europe at that time where we were dubbing people for the king. And they would come up and make a pledge to the king that, here's my life, Lord. Here's my life for everything. Take all. I keep nothing back. My life, I no longer live, but the life I live in you, Jesus, who died for me and gave everything for me. And it was a whole generation of people that made this pledge, and many, many, many are still in the ministry now. They've started churches in New England. They started churches in Europe. Our interns did we were part of the launching of a 40-day prayer initiative in Boston that birthed J-Hop. We dragged people down we were there for a whole month, fasting and praying and believing God to do something great in our midst. And so this sword, God spoke to me and he said, it's time to reforge the sword. It's time to reforge the sword. And that is the message that I brought into this meeting. But God was already here that night. And so I said, God, I got up and I said, listen, this is a moment that God has given you, but he is inviting you into a lifetime, a given life. And I said, I was young and now I'm old. And God has been faithful, drawing me as I learned to worship him in time of struggle, as I've learned to see his faithfulness in every need, as I've learned to give everything for him and not myself. He's been faithful. And is there a people here that will grab hold of the next mantle for the next generation? Who is it? And these young people answered the call of revival. They answered the call of a given life this weekend. It's so significant. And if you were here, if you could have seen the presence of God that was here, I am telling you, it was marked. It's the legacy that's been birthed. And that's why I share the story, because I want you to see the legacy of the moves of God. And now God has brought us into another move of God, to the point that I knew, I said, this weekend is different. They'll never be the same. These guys are never going to be the same. They are going to change their generation. They're going to be a voice, a willingness. And we've talked about it. We said, don't let anybody civilize you. It's time to be wild before the king. It's time to be undignified. It's time to hear his voice and do whatever he asks. Here I am, Lord. Anything. And in 2000, you know, in the Bible, Joshua had all the tribes of Israel bring stones to remember the faithfulness of God. Do you remember that story? Well, and when we started YouStorm, we stepped out and we thought we had like all these donors and like we were going to be like in this, you know, financially great place. And everything like dried up like when we stepped out and we were like, whoa. So Sean's like getting like really crazy dumb jobs trying to provide. He's like freaking out for the family. And then I was like, Sean, I just think that God definitely called us out. And if he called us out, he didn't call you out to work at McDonald's. I just feel like that. And I said, I believe God's going to provide. And I'll tell you, when we stuck our faith out there, God provided so abundantly. Checks in the mail. Checks given from people. It was just crazy abundance from the Lord. We were given money to buy a house for the ministry. It was just crazy, crazy provision. And so I took this stone and I wrote on it, it's faded now because it was 25 years ago, the year of 2000, the year of provision from the Lord. And I kept that as a memory stone, lost it in the yard somehow, and then we found it. Landon and Cole found it when they were outside playing right at the time we were buying this property. And we needed provision from the Lord, and these two little toddler guys come walking in with this big stone. Look what we found in the yard. And I said, oh, Lord, you are speaking provision again. Right? Come on. He provides. He's so faithful. And so this weekend, I ran out and I grabbed this because I said, this is a weekend for a stone. This is a weekend for a stone, guys. This is a memorial to the Lord, because what he did this weekend will never be the same. Will never be the same. There's a whole new generation of faithful warriors that are ready to give their lives in life or death to be given away in weakness or strength, right? This isn't saying that we've got young people all perfect. It's saying that they're going to be given to the Lord, holding nothing back, holding nothing back. And that's what we want to invite you guys into prayer for them. But there's something I want to do right now. When I shared with my mom, I wanted to share with her this morning that I was going to share my testimony, because sometimes I think it's hard for her. Because part of that testimony is some of the bad choices, right, that were in her own life. And she just shared, and she said, you know, sometimes it's so hard to fight the shame. And so this morning, I want you to come up, because you know why? The older generation walks under such a shadow that you're unable to run recklessly for the Lord, because you feel like you've messed up, you've made bad decisions, you've got kids that aren't serving the Lord. What did we do wrong? And the enemy has come with a voice to torment you. And this woman has been tormented by God. But I want to offer this to anybody else that you feel in your life that you're a parent and your story was whatever it was. I mean, this was the birthing ground for me. So what she counted as shame was a test of the Lord that God made as an incubator of his faithfulness to turn me into a radical woman of Jesus. One that would worship God for fun. That's what I did for fun, guys. And so if that's you, I want you to come up. And I want this youth group that has experienced the power of God this weekend to come. We're going to break the lies of the enemy off of you. We're going to no more to be tormented. Come on, guys. Come on. These are, I'm telling you, God wants the young people to stand behind these people and speak the truth of heaven. Remember, the sword of the Lord's in your mouth to break off the lies of the enemy. No more torment, no more shame, no more bondage. They're free. And from this free place, we're going to begin to pray faithful prayers, guys, that are not bound, that are not shadowed, that are not hard. They're going to be easy, because God's going to set you guys so free. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these faithful women of God. And we thank you for their stories, God, that your blood has been so faithful to cover and to wash clean. So faithful, so faithful, so faithful to wash clean. Every one of you, the blood of Jesus is washing. Every torment of the enemy is silenced right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, no more torment, no more lies of the enemy, no more. It's all done today. Only freedom, God. Only freedom. Anybody else?
Oh, Lord. We just declare your liberty once and for all over these hearts. Oh, we lift them up with the hands of the youth here. Oh, Jesus, as you would rip any remaining chains off their soul right now. Oh, God, thank you for freedom. Oh, thank you for washing heaviness away, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Ava, this is yours. Ava.
Lord, I just break off all the chains in the name of Jesus. All the lies from the enemy, leave now. Because the devil hates you, and all those lies, they're not true. That's why they're called lies. Come on. Come on, guys. God, shut up.
Lord, I just pray for a youthful fire to be brought back into these lives, Father. Lord, bring back the youthful fire, Jesus. an old fire is burnt out, Father, but a youthful fire burns like a flame, Jesus, like no other. Lord, I pray that you just give them this burst of fire, Jesus.
Oh, God, how I just pray for new bodies, God, new identities, God, within them. God, I just pray new bodies of fire, God, so that they are different, Jesus, but they're after you, God. Enemies are not allowed, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Father, I thank you for the chains that are breaking in my life, Lord, and it's flowing down to my children, Lord, in the very same area, Lord, where you rescued me and pulled me out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I thank you for that fire coming upon my three prodigal of the four children. One is serving you, and I just thank you and just see them dancing before the Lord. I thank you for these prayers. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for this message and this beautiful body here in Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus, I just speak life over them right now, Jesus, that there would just be a fresh fire lit in their souls, Jesus, that they would just be washed with your blood, Jesus, that you would just come and encounter them right now, God, with your holy presence, Jesus. I just pray that you would come in and destroy any lies of the enemy, no deception in Jesus' name, that there would just be a desire for you, Jesus, God, that there would just be an overflow of your presence in their souls and in their hearts and in their minds, God. Just overwhelm them with your power, Jesus.
Ooh, come on. Yes, yes, yes.
Father, we thank you right now that there's been seasons of gentleness and sweetness, but right now it's a season of fire. It's time to go. Father, we thank you that they're being equipped and anointed, not just to preach the good news, but be the good news. Father, we thank you for equipping the saints to march together, young and old, that we are unified as a body, that it's not just one or the other. I speak unity over the generation of old to the youngest generation in the room and in our body right now, God. But specifically, we thank you for the ones that are up here that are repledging and saying yes to you. God, we thank you for the anointing right now to break the yoke of anything that makes them feel like they need to stay silent. We rip off the duct tape off of their mouths and tell them to speak out. Speak life. Be alive in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, right now for tongues of fire, the freedom in your spirit, God. We thank you for undignified worship when nobody's looking and nobody's watching except you, so that when we're together again on Sundays, there's an explosion, an eruption of praise, not just from the young, but from each one, God. We anoint their feet to walk with authority right now in Jesus' name. We anoint their hearts to be set ablaze right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of God, shake everything that needs to be shaken right now, not just up here, but in the whole room. God, we thank you for shaking and quaking, igniting the flame again. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are good. You are mighty. And we thank you, God, for every chain to be left on the ground, never to be picked up again.
Yeah, God, I just pray that the fear of the devil just leaves them in the name of Jesus, and they just have such a bigger fear of you, God, that they just have such an enormous fear of you, God, that they cannot, like, contain it, that the devil just will flee from them because they can feel the presence of God in them, that the devil will get scared when they walk around, that the demons will just flee, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Oh, Jesus, I pray that you break any chain on their life, God. I pray that you break any weariness in their bodies or their souls, Jesus. I thank you that your presence, God, is a place that no shame, no trauma can dwell in, no pain. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you are turning every generation to you, Jesus. I thank you, God, and I pray that, oh, Jesus. Jesus, break every heart of stone, God. I pray that this would be marked in history, God. The book of life. That time that God came and dwelled forever. He never left. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I just ask you to fall into this place. Fall into this generation, Lord. Not only the younger generation, but the older generation, Lord. I ask that you break down the lies of the enemy. Destroy the shame of the enemy, Lord. Because that's not what this is, Lord. I ask your tongues of fire. I ask them to fall. Just like they fell last week. But fall today. On the older generation, Lord. I just ask you to fall and fall, Lord. To ignite the fire even brighter and hotter, Lord. Break the lies of the enemy. Let your sword fall on shame and the lies and the evil that corrupts, and the evil that tricks, and the evil that trips us up, Lord. Lord, let your tongues of fire fall and let them burn.
I just sense right now that there's heavy doubt in this room, and I pray that it's broken right now in Jesus' name. Any shame of their past, oh, it's forgotten because Jesus forgave you when he died on the cross for you. He forgot about it, and he washed you with his blood so you're clean, so you can come after him now. Oh, break the chains right now in Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for the example of those who have gone before us, of those who have had a life full of testimony to give. Because the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So, Father, for the older generation in this room who has that testimony to give, Father, I pray that that would continue to glorify you. That you may have dropped the fire this week, but I pray that that fire would spread to everyone, a fresh dosage, a new renewal. God, let this enthusiasm spread to everyone here. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for those who have gone before us. And I ask that your blessings would pour out more. Father, that the favor and the faithfulness that you've proven in their lives again and again, just bring fresh reminders of who you have been and who you are. Because God, you are so good.
Come on, I just feel like as this shame and as this darkness is being washed away, that there is healing and life being brought into your bodies right now from the inside out. Life and life abundant springing forth right now from the inside of your body outward. Healing in your body right now. Just one touch of your garment, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For everybody sitting in their seats right now, we're not just praying over two people in the middle right here. This is for everybody in their seats right now. You guys are not you're not like idle participants. So youth, can you stand around and face the body? And let's stop praying over them right now. So Lord, we pray for everybody in their seats right here. That we are not held back by our shame, but we are glorified because of the blood of Christ. That our sins are forgiven. That we have new testimonies. That we have unity. That our testimonies glorify the God of Israel, the Holy One. So you stop prophesying everybody over their seats.
I just sense that the older generations, they're bound by regret, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you remove regret off their lives, Father. You remove regret off their lives, Father, because without the older generation, the youth would not be as they are today, Father. I thank you for all the older generations, the way they have raised the youngers into your word, God. I thank you that you have set everyone free, Jesus, and that the older generation, God, is just freed by you, Jesus.
As we continue to respond here, I want to invite the rest of the body to respond. You know, this is a Gilgal moment. You know, Gilgal was the moment where the generations, young and old, gathered together before they crossed out of a wilderness and into the promised land. And they had, those that had not been circumcised had to be circumcised. They had to be prepared in order to go across into the next chapter, into the next season of God, into the place of acquisition of promise. And Gilgal literally means to roll away the reproach, to roll away the shame of yesteryear. And this is what's happening. Even as we prayed earlier, there is a divine circumcision, a cutting away of the old, a cutting away of regret, of shame, of reproach, of yesteryear, of unbelief. And just like with Israel, there was a circumcision, and then there was a 3-day healing period before they actually crossed over. And I'm telling you, God wants to heal the generations together. That together as a family made up of young and old can move into the next place together. This is not just about a new generation. This is about a generation that will believe God at his word and move into all that he has in the next season. Amen? And so I feel like I just want to invite all of us that want to step into this next chapter in God, to step into a fresh circumcision, a fresh cutting of covenant, to do away with the old and enter into the new, to come up and to let the youth pray for you. But I want to invite people to respond. You know, and I also feel this. Listen, I want to submit this to you, that at some point, I do want to invite the older generation at some point to consider, just like Israel had to go through the waters, the baptism waters of crossing over, I feel like there needs to be a fresh water baptism, a washing away of the old, where as a declaration, not a fresh faith in terms of just with Jesus, but a fresh faith of putting away the old and entering into the new, of being freshly reshaped, retooled, refashioned, and prepared for a new season and a new day. I feel like at some point I want to invite us as a body, and we'll discern this together, to do a big, fresh water baptism for all those that want to cross over. But today, I want to invite anyone that wants to respond to let these young people pray and release fresh fire on you, a fresh washing, to come and respond. Come up here and let youth, if you guys could spread out across the front, just spread out across the front. I want to invite you to come as we respond today, to come receive, even just fresh impartation. These guys receive something from heaven, and we would be wise to just receive. So if you're hungry, just come. Come and respond. There's things you need to release: shame, regret, guilt, fears, unbeliefs. Come and release those things, and let a generation just pray for you and bless you. But let's all respond today. Don't leave this place as a spectator. Come hungry. Come humble. Come with a yes in your heart to what God is doing in this hour. May God cut away the reproach of the past. May God cut away the shame. And loose divine healing over your hearts, over your families. And I pray, Lord, that you unify the generations, that no longer would they be at odds with each other, but young and old would be united together in Christ. One family under heaven, moving together as one. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and children to the fathers. In Jesus' name.